today on Real Radio.
You might have a sticker on your car that says coexist. Have you seen those guys? What a remarkable, I love that bumper sticker, coexist. It is the most impossible statement that you can possibly put on a perfectly good bumper.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Pastor Jack continues the Worldview Series with part one of Our Biblical Worldview and Spirituality. Just as the Apostle Paul did in biblical times, we must give an argument for what is spirituality. Man has always had the desire to pursue some sort of spiritual journey. But when you don't embrace the one true God, you'll embrace other things that have a godlike effect for you. And Pastor Jack wants us not to be fooled. You know, the truth is there are deceiving spirits that could seduce you into departing from the faith. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Tonight, we're going to be covering and giving out a lot of Bible, a lot of scriptures. And we need you to be wrapping your heart and your mind around this topic, this issue of our biblical worldview and spirituality. What is going on regarding this thing called spirituality? It's not too different from the day of Paul the Apostle in Athens, Greece. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. In a moment, we'll read more of it, but look at just verse 28 for now. He made his argument, and we make ours tonight, regarding this God that the Greeks did not know. Paul said to them, "For in him we live and we move and we have our being." Three key functions of the human species, our existence, the human being. That regarding the God of the Bible, it is because of him we live. It's because of him we move. And it is because of him we have our being. Our very purpose of existence is wrapped up in this awesome God. And I want you to be thinking tonight, thinking as an Athenian, thinking as a Greek. But listen, thinking as those today in whom you and I come in contact with. Because spirituality is a big deal today. You might say, well, Pastor, I go to church every week. I never even really think about the word spirituality. But I guess so. You must be talking about believers, right? No, actually, I'm not talking about believers tonight. I'm talking about our biblical worldview in light of spirituality, meaning that man has this overwhelming propensity to seek after and to pursue some sort of spiritual journey, every one of us. You may drape your spiritual journey in evolution. You may drape it in materialism. You may drape it even in atheism. It doesn't matter what you drape it in. It is a spiritual pursuit that is somehow doctored up or wrapped in your worldview. And this is a big deal. As we get into this study regarding spirituality, I'm going to ask you to jot this verse down. It's the first commandment of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 and 3. There is the list of the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment is, I am the Lord, that is, I am Yah, that is his name, your God, the name of God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Listen, you shall have no other gods before me. And I want to ask you this question. What in the world and how in the world can someone formulate a logic or a duplicity, think about it, or a multiplicity of gods in their mind? Why would someone do that? Where does that come from? That's a question I want you to write down in your notes tonight. Regarding spirituality, it will always lead toward a multiplicity of gods if they are identified or not as gods. When you do not embrace the one true God, you will embrace other things that act like a God effect for you. Money brings me comfort, someone might say. Sex brings me pleasure, someone might say. Power brings me satisfaction, someone might say. These things are all gods that we lean upon if we're not leaning upon the one true God. Now, the ancients believed in gods that brought those things that I just mentioned into being. If you were in Athens, Greece, you would have worshipped a god that brought you prosperity. It may have been, for example, the god of harvest or the god of planting, the god of nature. It could have been Zeus. It could have been Atlas. You could have been a sailor at sea, and that was your income. That was your existence. You could have been one that was importing and exporting goods throughout the Mediterranean. Or you could have been a fisherman, and so you would have called upon perhaps Nautilus or Titan or one of the ancient gods of the sea. But listen to what the Bible says regarding spirituality, because none of us are exempt from our spirituality. In 1 Timothy 4:1, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "expressly says," that's a strong word, "the Holy Spirit directly without any doubt whatsoever says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith." I want you to mark that down because that's a terrifying statement. Leave the verse up, but you on your notes, mark this down. Some will depart from the faith. Listen, will that be you? Will it be the person next to you? Will it be your husband? Will it be your wife or your children? I hope not. But the Bible warns some will depart from the faith, giving heed. This is why they depart from the faith. They give heed, credence, availability. They give time to. They yield. Listen, they entertain the seduction or deceiving spirits. And what do those deceiving spirits do? They bring doctrines of demons, demonic activity. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The Bible says this will be a reality in the last days. There will be people not listening to biblical doctrine anymore. They'll give up on it. And in doing so, they will give heed to deceiving spirits. These are, listen, demonic, invisible spiritual powers that are extremely skilled at deception. Listen, let me tell you something right now. Don't any of you be fooled. None of us are equipped on our own to take on the demonic forces that the Bible's warning about right here without the Holy Spirit possessing your life. This is a very serious issue. Doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. The demons don't have their conscience seared with a hot iron. It's those who have departed from the faith. Pastor Jack, are you saying that they were once saved and then they were lost? That's not what I'm saying. They were among us. They were with us. They may be here tonight. People who claim to believe in God, people with all emotion, with all passion, who might even know tremendous passages of the Bible. But the Bible warns that in time, they will begin to entertain doctrines of demons. How in the world can that happen, we would ask? And that's a good question. How can that happen? So when Paul saw this world of his represented in Greece, in Athens, he saw what was really behind the powers of those statues and of those images. It was the revelation of an epic battle between light and darkness. Now listen, look at Acts chapter 17. Your finger is there already. Look at verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked. Do you remember Sunday night we talked about discernment? The spirit of discernment, the gift of discernment. Paul was discerning that the Athenians were lost in their paganism. Provoked, the word means in Greek, exasperated at the lostness of the Greeks. He was provoked within him, his spirit was, when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned, the word means challenged, in the synagogues with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplaces daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicureans, these are pleasure seekers, we have them today. They live for pleasure. If it feels good, these are the guys, by the way, that invented that statement. If it feels good, do it. And Stoic philosophers, these guys would argue back and forth. The Stoics were the real, they looked like they sucked on lemons all their life. They were they're not happy about anything. Everything's a bummer. The Stoic. And they're the philosophers, and so they're the real melancholy kind of guy. And they thought that this is an evidence of being in connection with the gods and knowing all things. They were very critical, very judgmental, very harsh. And then you've got the Epicureans, which are bouncing off the walls with going from one happy high to the next, snorting, smoking, drinking, doing whatever brings pleasure. And you've got these guys that would pontificate back and forth and argue there near Mars Hill at that great open theater. So as these philosophers encountered Paul, encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? And others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Notice, they're willing to believe in anything, but they think Jesus and the resurrection is somewhat silly. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, we know that what this new doctrine is of which you speak, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Gossip. TMZ Central. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, and here he goes, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious, spiritual people. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, which is impossible, how do you worship somebody you don't know? Him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men dwell on the face of the earth, which is a genetic scientific fact, by the way. That's a hematological fact, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Isn't that wild? The Bible, Paul says right here that God has put people ordained by him to live in the boundaries and the borders of their own nations. Isn't that neat? God establishes borders of nations. Men goof them up, but God establishes them. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Verse 28, you heard it before. For in him we live, we move, and have our being. That's his argument. You are a very spiritual person. You are proud about being spiritual. You've got all these things. In fact, you're very pantheistic. You're so spiritual. You want to make sure that you kind of worship all the gods that are available by all means possible, just in case, to cover all the bases. You might have a sticker on your car that says coexist. Have you seen those guys? What a remarkable, I love that bumper sticker, coexist. It is the most impossible statement that you can possibly put on a perfectly good bumper. Because when you look at the doctrines that are represented by all those symbols, it is a spiritual impossibility to coexist. Only the person in fantasy land could think that that coexist statement actually means anything to somebody. It's amazing. Because a spiritual conviction, eventually, if probed, will bring forth to the surface its doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all spiritual people, but I want to ask you, what spirit are you of? This is very serious, very important. So tonight, let's look at five warning signs regarding spirituality. Number one, warning. Our biblical worldview and spirituality, warning number one, is failing to recognize what you are. Will you jot that down? Failing to recognize what you are. When you begin to view your human existence as somewhat of a very highly evolved animal, you are failing to recognize what you are. In schools today, they teach theology. And the theology of public school system is you are an evolutionary byproduct. That is a theology, or atheology, or atheism type of argument. Now, they may not come out and say, hi, welcome to Atheism 101, but when you teach the course that you're nothing but a primordial byproduct of a goop, of something sneezed in the ancient past, left a booger in a mud hole, and a lightning bolt struck it, and you began to grow an eyeball. And listen, failing to recognize what you are is the number one warning when it comes to spirituality. Because down deep inside, you know tonight, listen, you know tonight that you are more than some sort of an evolutionary product. You are something much deeper, and you struggle with that. If you're not a Christian tonight, you struggle with completeness, with wholeness. Why is that the case? Why tonight do you struggle with the most profound and deep philosophical questions like, if a man dies, does he live again? Is this all there is to life? What is my meaning for being here on this planet? What's the purpose of all this? Why do I care about some things and not about others? Why do I have these emotions? The answer is overwhelming. If we will just stop to recognize who you are, the Bible makes it very clear in previous studies, I do not need to belabor it, I'll simply say, if you read Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, there's a bold announcement that you've been created in the image of God. Listen, you are not an animal. You are not an animal. You say, well, no, wait a minute. I just looked in my son's science book and it says that we're an animal. You're not an animal. The truth of the matter is, listen, if you are not going to have God in the middle of your logic, in the middle of your argument, then you've got to spin things like this. You've got to say that we are the most advanced animal in the chain. Why does a scientist or why does an atheist or an evolutionist say that? Because there's overwhelming evidence of intelligent, brilliant, awesome engineering from the most minuscule form of life to you. Can we all say amen to that? We can all say amen to that. Thus, we must conclude that we are somehow connected, and so connected that we really can only go so far. We really can't rise up above any other animal and say that we're in charge. Because that would not be nice to all of the others that are evolving like we are evolving. So we're just animals too. No, you know what the truth is? The very same engineer designer with his stamp, you know, like made in America, or whatever your shirt, you know, has a stamp on the back, made somewhere. Did you know that all of the created universe, from the inside of you and your DNA code to the most distant, deep, stellar space orb out there, has the fingerprint of God's engineering skill? Did you know that the true evidence of the universe inside of you and the universe outside of you speaks of the same designer? Not an evolutionary process, but the same designer. The number one thing regarding spirituality is to realize, yes, you are a creature created with a body, soul, and spirit, and you're the only one in the entire universe, universes for that matter, in all of God's creation, you're the only one. Now, yeah, I don't mean much to anybody. That might be true, but not to God. Nobody loves me. That might be true, but not to God. Nobody cares about me. That may be true. God does. And in all of the expanse of the universe, outside and inside, from the throne room of your logic and your reason, inside or outside, to the most distant universe, You are more complex than anything that we can observe with an electron microscope or the Hubble telescope. And God screams at you through science and through reality and your own conscience. I'm your creator. You and I are created. And embedded within us is that God-engineered stamp that you are a spiritual creation of God. But when you fail to recognize that, you will have a very low view of yourself and of others and of life, of God, of everything. And I want to argue with you tonight that you need to change the way that you're thinking. If you boast that you're spiritual and that you've got a crystal around your neck and you've got a crescent moon on the top of your car, but you've got a Jesus Save sticker on the back of your window and you've got a Star of David on your necklace and you've got a, you hear what I'm saying? There are people that you and I know who cover all the bases and their pantheism, and what are they saying? They're honestly actually saying, I'm lost. I'm so scared. I'm so lost. I'm trying to just find something here. Why? My question is, I already know the answer. I'm just playing along with you right now. My question is, why are you searching? For what are you groping for in the darkness? To whom are you reaching out to? Just don't think that you're off the hook because you're a spiritual person. My goodness, you can go to LA right now. Some of you are going to drive back to LA tonight. We'll pray for you. And there are people, I mean, that's got to be one of the most profound spiritual centers in America. You stop somebody, I mean, then you want to get a camera and a little microphone or something like that and go down some of those streets and ask people, what do you believe in? Oh my goodness, you'll have the time of your life. Hi, just like to ask you, what do you believe in? Just start asking people that. By the way, it's a great witnessing opportunity. There's a little microphone and a camera, they just stop. I believe in, and they'll start talking. And they give you a chance to share with them. But you'll hear the most amazing things. Very spiritual people. As lost as the day is long. And God doesn't want them lost. And being spiritual doesn't mean you're saved. Not at all. It just simply proves that you are a creature created by God in His image. You are man and not an animal. In the proper environment, you and I flourish and develop just as we were created. In the improper or an improper environment, you and I can become a tragic opposite of being a blessing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and Spirituality. Thanks for listening. Today's lesson was just one in a series called The Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens, and will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And before we let you go today, I want to remind you about our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great website, real easy to point and click around and get what you need from Real Radio. We've got a lot of resources there. We've got sermons, we've got YouTube, we've got the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. That's a great app for you to spend some time on. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, do you get our Real Life devotions? Shows up in your email inbox every Monday. A lot of folks write into us telling us that the Real Life devotions really make a big difference throughout the week. It's the kind of thing where, you know, if you're sitting in the doctor's office or waiting at the post office, something like that, you can access your email and go look at the Real Life devotions from Pastor Jack. He covers all sorts of different topics, and a lot of folks are really, really happy with the Real Life devotions. You can simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, have a look at the devotions, and listen, when you're done with that, go to your app store, whether you're on Apple or Android or whatever. Go to the app store and get the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. That's a real easy way to access everything that is Real Radio. Our phone number here at Real Radio, should you ever need it, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.